Welcome to NewsHour from the BBC World Service. We're coming to you live from London. I'm Paul Henley. First today, the world's foremost climate science body has delivered what it's being called a final warning on rising temperatures. A UN International Panel on Climate Change says the world is on the brink of irrevocable damage. It says the window is closing rapidly for a sustainable future, particularly for vulnerable small island states, with global warming above the infamous 1.5 degrees Celsius now almost certain within a decade. The UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, today called for urgent action.
The climate time bomb is ticking. But today's IPCC report is a how-to guide to defuse the climate time bomb. It is a survival guide for humanity. As it shows, the 1.5 degree limit is achievable, but it will take a quantum leap in climate action. This report is a clarion call to massively fast-track climate efforts by every country and every sector and on every time frame. In short, our world needs climate action on all fronts, everything, everywhere, all at once.
Simon Steele is Executive Secretary of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. I asked him to remind us what a temperature rise of 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial levels would mean in practical terms.
Well, we're currently at 1.1. We see year in, year out, record floods. We saw what happened to Pakistan last year with a third of the country underwater, millions displaced, billions and billions of dollars worth of damage. Whether it is flooding and drought across Europe, whether it's wildfires, North America, other parts of the world, whether it's increasing hurricanes, cyclones, we are already experiencing, there is no continent, there is no country that is not impacted by the effects of climate change. It is already difficult for many. It is already expensive. And that is at 1.1, let alone this target of 1.5, which will be far worse, let alone if we continue on our current trajectory. We're currently on a trajectory of 2.5 degrees. It will be hell. So the picture that the Secretary General paints isn't fictional. It isn't in the distant future. It is right here on our doorsteps.
I can't quite get my head around whether this is a statement that we've already gone beyond 1.5 degrees within the next decade, or whether this is a plea to please not go above 1.5 degrees. Which is it?
It is the latter. It's a plea. So, yes, we are currently off course, but the science tells us, the prescriptions tell us that there is still a window of opportunity for us to course correct, but it will take extraordinary effort by the global community in order to achieve that.
What does that mean, extraordinary effort?
Countries submit their plans, their long-term strategies to align their economies to the Paris Agreement goal, and specifically that 1.5 degree temperature goal. So there is knowledge as to what needs to be done by whom and by when. As difficult as this is, it is possible, but it comes back to that political will and that extraordinary effort that is required from all.
Simon Steele, head of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. Joining me now live is Sir David King, who was the chief scientific advisor to the British government when Tony Blair was prime minister, and is the founder now of the Centre for Climate Repair in England, in Cambridge, in fact. Welcome, Sir David. What is it, would you say, that stops world governments from taking the urgent action needed?
That's a critically important question, because we've had 30 years of very, very little action being taken by many, many world leaders. And I think the answer has to be the following. Many of us know that countries in the Middle East, like Saudi Arabia, depend for their existence, their GDP totally dependent on oil and gas sales. What I think many of us forgot was that the United States has built its economy around coal, oil, and gas, around fossil fuels. And within the United States, there's an extraordinarily strong lobby. And we know about strong lobbies in the United States, like the gun lobby. But the strongest of all is the lobby set up by the coal, oil and gas industries, which has been spending up to $1 billion a year to try and negate the science of climate change. Now, the warning we've just received is so strong, and I do believe that the vast majority of the global population now understand this. We are suffering enormously from the challenges. What we require, and this still hasn't happened, is leadership from the United States, but we also need the United States to be working alongside China. If China and the United States can work together on this, and by the way, I'm going to say they must do this for the sake of the future of humanity, then we have a chance of moving forward. Without that, it's very difficult to see it. Yes, the European Union is a reasonably strong player on this, but I have to say no country is doing nearly enough.
Are there signs that China is taking that lead?
Yes, there are definitely signs that China would like to take that lead. China has been leading the world on producing since 2012. When they made a key decision on climate change, they've been leading the world on installing renewable energy systems, on installing hydropower, nuclear energy, all the alternatives to fossil fuel. They still depend on fossil fuel because their economy has been growing so strongly. We must remember this. China has taken about 850 million people out of poverty over the last 23 years since 2000. That is the cause of this in China, that they are still dependent on fossil fuels. Now, I do believe, however, that this warning, and by the way, this is a very robust research and peer review process. It understates the nature of the challenge. They're saying, for example, that we're at 1.1 degrees centigrade above the pre-industrial level. Actually, today, it is not that. That 1.1 is the average between 2011 and 2020. In 2023, we are now at about 1.35 degrees centigrade above the pre-industrial level, rapidly approaching the sort of magical figure of 1.5 that I was battling to keep us below many, many years ago. But now, what we need to understand is the Arctic Circle region is not only 1.3 degrees centigrade above the pre-industrial level, it's now at 3 degrees. The Greenland ice is now melting irreversibly. It is quite clear that the permafrost regions around the North Pole are also beginning to suffer severe high temperatures. And
it's all deeply distressing. How do you strike a balance between warning about the terrifying consequences of climate change and giving people hope that it's still worth taking action, finally?
So absolutely right. We need people to understand that this is a very short timeline that we have for real action. There is a possibility, and it's a very real possibility for real action. Here in the Centre for Climate Repair at Cambridge, we're working around three R's, the strategy of reduce emissions deeply and rapidly, but we also have to learn to remove excess greenhouse gases we've already put up there. Every ton of greenhouse gas we now emit into the future, every single ton will have to be removed again.
Thank you.
At probably great expense.
Sir David King of the Centre for Climate Repair here in the UK.